all you need, God of all, the Lord of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. We call upon your name this evening as we come to break our fast.
According to the teachings of Islam, Ramadan commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. The word has become the foundation for one of the world's great religions.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. Are we fighting a holy war?
You know, I don't know if that was my exact quote.
It's exact words.
As again we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Give me a break. Something happened on the road to Damascus. John fell off his horse, but he got back up on the same horse.
Of course, everyone is watching very keenly what direction the religious voter is going to go. Now, the religious voter, that phrase is pretty general. There are an awful lot of subcategories, but the religious voter is obviously key. When it comes to presidential politics, you bet that those who have been planning and strategizing and executing the campaigns for both of the candidates, Senator Obama and Senator McCain, have been spending probably the better part of every day thinking about the religious voter. Well, we can see it. We can see more God talk in the presidential race. Is it having any effect? And if the election were held today, how would the religious voter vote? We're going to talk about a new poll tracking trends on how religious voters will vote or would vote for president, at least with the just a little bit over a month out, here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Now, you can join us for the next hour. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, we'll continue our series on the solas, the alones of the Reformation. Today, Faith Alone with Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. Allison Pond is our guest. She's research associate for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. Allison, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you.
As we look at the trends with religious voters and their candidate preferences, has anything changed recently?
You know, one thing, when we look at white evangelical Protestant registered voters, we've seen all along that they've been trending more towards McCain. But over the past month or so, our polling shows that their support has really solidified for him, whereas in August, we saw that about 28% of white evangelicals said that they strongly supported McCain, and that's jumped to about 41%, an increase of 13 points. Which is probably one of the more striking changes that we've seen over the past several weeks.
Is that just the presidential? I mean, it's hard to say why, but do you think that's just the presidential race getting closer, or do you think it's the Palin effect?
It's probably a combination, some combination of those two things. You know, there's usually several factors behind what we see here.
Okay, what surprised you most about the trends among religious voters as you look at the data?
I think that we've been interested all along in the fact that McCain was doing as well as Bush was among evangelicals even before his selection of Sarah Palin. Like I said, that did solidify the strength with which people supported him. But the fact that some of these trends are very similar to what we've seen in the past in terms of which religious groups sort of are leaning towards the different candidates was in itself rather interesting.
What's happened with Governor Palin's favorable ratings, as far as you can tell?
Well, the groups that favor her most strongly are predictably Republicans. 85% of Republicans have a favorable view of Sarah Palin. But she also brings something to the ticket with independents. 60% of independents say that they have a favorable view of her compared to about 27% who have an unfavorable view. She also, as I said, gets high marks from white evangelicals and has about the same favorability among men and among women.
What religious groups are trending towards Senator Obama, and which religious groups are trending towards Senator McCain, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, the religiously unaffiliated are strong supporters of Obama, those who say that they don't have any religion in particular. About two-thirds of them support Senator Obama. Another one of his constituencies is black Protestant registered voters. They typically trend Democrat, and this election is no exception to that. 90% say that they favor Obama over McCain. McCain's support comes primarily from white evangelical Protestant registered voters. You've got about 7 in 10 that lean towards that support or lean towards McCain. The race is quite a bit closer among white mainline Protestants, among non-Hispanic Catholics. Those are typically swing groups, and it looks like they're kind of, especially Catholics, are shaping up to be a swing group again in this election.
They've kind of seesawed back and forth in their preference for the main candidate, haven't they?
They have. The most recent numbers show that about half, 48%, favor McCain compared to 41% who favor Obama. So right now, it looks like they're leaning a little bit in the Republican direction. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next month or so.
We're not talking about a small percentage of total religious voters when we're talking about Catholic registered voters, are we?
Well, Catholics, I'm not sure exactly the proportion that Catholics make up, but they are a significant voting bloc, and often the way that Catholic, that the white Catholic vote goes, is often the way that the election ends up going. So it's definitely not insignificant.
We've heard a lot about regular worship attendance and registered voters. What did you discover in your trends survey?
You know, these patterns are also similar to what we've seen in previous elections. What we're seeing in terms of worship attendance is that those who attend services weekly or more lean towards McCain, and that support among this group for him is getting stronger as we near the election. Those who attend seldom or never, more than half of them, actually 58%, say that they are planning to vote for Obama, and that has increased by several percentage points over the past couple of months as well. So there's a slight polarization that we see going on there that does mirror the kinds of patterns that we've seen in the past.
Checking it against the previous presidential election, how is Senator Obama doing among religious voters to, well, compared to how Senator Kerry, who was the candidate last time for the Democrats, among religious voters?
Among religious voters, well, I guess it's easy to think of it in terms of among when we're talking about the Democrat among non-religious voters. Obama's support is actually even more than what Kerry had in the last election. With respect to religious voters, we see them leaning more strongly towards McCain. He has an edge among evangelicals and among Catholic voters, and also among those who as I said, attend church more regularly. That's one of the best indicators that we have for kind of what we term religious voters, is either their affiliation or their behavior as well.
What about comparing McCain today with how President Bush was doing comparably 4 years ago with religious voters?
You know, we see some strong similarities here. Based only on voters who express a preference between these two candidates, McCain's lead among evangelicals is 77% to 23%, which is really comparable to Bush's final margin among this group, which was 78% to 21%. You know, a couple of months ago, McCain had a smaller lead than Bush did, but that's virtually, you know, that difference has kind of disappeared, and he's right on track, I think, among especially evangelicals and other religious voters to write about where Bush was 4 years ago.
Has Senator Obama been able to debunk effectively the Muslim myth?
You know, that's a very interesting question. We've asked voters if they know what Obama's religious beliefs are. And when we asked this in March, 10% of the population said that they believed Obama was a Muslim. The number in September is actually 13% who believe this. So it doesn't look like there's been much change on that. And if anything, a few more people may believe that at this point in time. There's certain groups that are more prone to believe this than others. Those who support McCain or who define themselves as a Republican are more likely to believe that Obama is a Muslim. It's up to almost 20% of the membership of some of these groups. Those without a college degree are much more likely than those who've graduated from college to believe that Obama is a Muslim as well.
If the election were held today, as far as we can tell from your survey results, how would it come out, or could you even call it?
The overall election among religious groups, or just overall? And
the overall election among, if it were religious voters who were deciding this thing, where would it come out?
As far as the final outcome is anyone's guess, but it does look like certain religious groups will probably vote the way that they have voted in the past, with the evangelicals going Republican, the Black Protestants, the unaffiliated going Democrat, and so it'll be interesting to see, like I said before, which way some of the white Catholics come out and which way, how it all balances out in the end. The general election is numbers are really close right now, 46 to 44. So it's, another nail biter, I guess.
Looks like we're in for that for a while to come. Folks, we're going to post a link to this new Pew Forum poll tonight under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find a link to the new Pew poll on religious voters and the trends of their preferences for the candidates. Allison Pond is a research associate for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. Thanks for being our guest, Allison.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
When we come back from this break, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt's going to join us. He's been with us on a regular basis. We're doing a series with him on the solas of the Reformation, that is, the alones. We've done Christ alone and grace alone. Today, it's time for faith alone. We'll do that right after this break. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss a family-friendly economy and the economic crisis with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. More Issues, Etc. after this.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Another anti-life inconsistency.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It was recently revealed that Albert Harris, a professor at the University of North Carolina, regularly tells his embryology students that Down syndrome babies should be aborted. The inconsistency of his argument is seen in his admission that although he was told his unborn child would have Down syndrome, he and his wife chose not to abort, and his child was born with no abnormalities. One wonders how someone can promote aborting babies diagnosed with Down syndrome when they know from personal experience that such diagnoses can be wrong, and when they have known what it is to love a child.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.